Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or GamblingHelplineMA.org.
Now. Sports Talk. While you're on the clock, this is Zulak and Bertrand.
A sports show radio host.
On 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Friday here on Zolak and Bertrand, back at the home base, Town Fair Tire Studios in Dorchester.
Let's go! Let's go, Hardy! Sports weekend!
Zolak's ready for it. Woo. What a great weekend on tap.
I'm just ready for this week to be over. It's been hell week. Woo! Yeah!
Smells, Hardy. It smells.
Some of that.
The microphone.
Filthy.
It's a little smelly. Don't do this.
Everybody can hear that, yeah. That's just me cleaning it. That's all. A little wipe down.
What'd they have? Jamelli's dad in here?
Give it a little lemony fresh smell. Ooh. Ooh, yeah, take one. Take one. Ugh. Be clean.
Morning, zoo.
God. Hello, hello. Yeah, okay.
You're disgusting.
What a weekend we have on tap. I'm excited. Oh. I can't wait for all of this.
I gotta pace myself.
Cannot wait. Like, I'm counting down the hours until tomorrow night for the Red Sox to start. And then, of course, Sunday is Sportsapalooza, which you will debate, you know, in your house if you're going to watch one and flip back and forth. You're going to stick on one primarily. If you're going to go somewhere to be able to watch two at the same time, if you're going to add a second TV, which I think is really the play.
Yeah.
Is to add a second TV to your viewing area inside your home. Let's get to both of these things. Let's sort of start with both today, Zo. What do you say?
Let's do it.
Alex Cora has spoken about why David Price is going to be the starter. This is obviously a question on everybody's mind. I think we've sort of guessed at what those reasons are and why they went with him. But here's the man himself, Alex Cora, talking about it.
Alex, given David's outing in Game 2 and his track record as a postseason starter, didn't that give you pause for naming him Game 2? And if not, why not?
No. I saw him last year. I think it was Father's Day. He pitched against Houston in Houston, and he pitched well. I saw him in the playoffs against the Astros. He pitched well. This year, he pitched in Houston that Saturday, pitched well against them, and he pitched here against the Astros and pitched well again. I know how good he is. I know he's pitched well against them. I trust the guy.
Okay, so they've asked Alex Cora questions, you know, even going back to this Yankee series.
Right.
Alex, did you ever think of, you know, putting Brock Holt in, you know, or to go with this lineup? Or did you ever think about pulling this guy out so-and-so at this time? And every time he answered a question was, nope, never, nope, didn't do it. Listen to how he answers this one. No, there's hesitation there, which tells you he thought about it. He thought about it, but now he's going to tell you why.
He was say.
Yeah. Which tells me, I think there's a lot of things in line here to where maybe this is even above him.
Do you think that it was, you know, the question there was, did it give you pause? Do you think there was actual pause for them, for the team?
Yeah.
For Cora?
Yeah.
You do?
I do.
Really?
Yeah, because I think through that last series, Eovaldi may have given them reason for pause.
If there were pause about continuing to start him, wouldn't he have ended up being like the third or fourth starter and not the second starter? We're going with him twice. The decision itself leads me to believe there was no pause. This was their plan all along. This is what they wanted to do.
It's one of two things. You either
they're staying the course.
You either want to have home runs hit off him if he pitches in Houston to that left field short porch, or I think it's 315 to left down in Houston inside Minute Maid, or else you want very hard singles hit off him in to tattoo that wall at Fenway Park. There's your two options. You want to give up home runs, or you want to give up singles and doubles.
Can we back up? You just said above him. You don't think Cora made this decision?
I think they all talk about it. So they're a $32 million pitcher. When you have someone of that ilk and you're signing bottom right-hand corner, we've heard that before with other people. Yeah, I think they may have some influence.
And we said yesterday.
Wait, you heard Kraft say bottom right corner, but he's never made a decision like that.
No, but Jim, no, it's not the owner. I would totally disagree. I don't think John Henry and Tom Werner are sitting there talking about
I would say Dombrowski.
What David Price is doing.
Or maybe La Russa.
But I don't think it's solely I don't think it's just on Cora. I think that it's Cora, it's Dombrowski, it's their analytics people, it's those people that don't believe in, having a pulse or situation
or
anxiety. Sure. I think it's all of the above. I think it's the coaching staff and it's the guys upstairs in the front office that are sort of making that decision. But I would say the majority of that decision is probably on the manager. I would say that the manager is the one who has to defend it. It's the manager who makes the decision when to pull the guy out of the game. It's not the guys upstairs. And so I think it's the manager who will either get the blame or get the credit.
Right.
Like if Price works out and he's great, I'm going to tell you, I'm not giving the credit to the analytics guys in the front office of the Red Sox or Dave Dombrowski. I'm giving the credit squarely to Alex Cora. So Cora has everything to gain and everything to lose on this one call.
So you think he has final say?
Yeah, I think that's probably fair.
Then it's his decision. We shouldn't go beyond that.
I'm not going beyond that. Don't accuse me of going beyond it. I'm telling you, it's all on him, all the credit or all the blame. Because I do believe the majority of that decision is his, but I don't think it's solely him that sits there and arrives at the conclusion that he's going to be the guy who starts game two. He mentioned that start, that Saturday start that he made against Houston at Houston, which
tells you they're thinking about it.
Okay. What?
They're thinking about the whole process of how.
No, they're not. They're thinking about what they're going to say to sort of defend their decision. And part of that defense is that he's pitched well against Houston. I'll give him credit for that win, by the way. He went six innings in that game. He gave up three runs. That was back, what was the date on that? I have his game log here. Hold on. Give me a second. I want to tell you exactly what day that was. June 2nd was the day.
It's the shades going down.
It's the shades going down.
Oh, you don't have to put them down today.
June 2nd was the date. Red Sox won that one 5-4. He went six innings, gave up five hits, three runs. He walked one, struck out seven. And that was in a big spot for the Red Sox in that series down in Houston. That was an important win. I remember after that win, we were in here talking about with Dan Shaughnessy that may have been one of their best wins of the year, given the spot, given that they had to have a response. They couldn't go down there and get, they couldn't lose a series. They couldn't get swept. And that was the start of them winning the last two games of that series. That was a big win for them. So this is where I would disagree with them. Well, if he pitched so well there, why are you afraid to pitch him there? If you thought he was still good on that Saturday, why are you afraid to pitch him down there?
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Good question.
He gave up three
very
runs
good.
Over six innings. You would take that from David Price.
We didn't need that commentary.
In game four?
We didn't really need that commentary, which tells you they're trying to spin it a certain way.
Trying to defend themselves.
They just say, he's always been our game two guy. He's always been our number two. And it's the same thing that they've done with Devers or Nunez or Holt or Kinsler. This is what got us here. This is what we do.
It's what we do
against lefties.
Yeah.
It's what we do against righties. Chris is our one. David's our two. We're riding what got us
but
here.
Isn't it sort of asinine that when you are asked the question, was there any pause? Was there any hesitancy on anybody's part? Was anybody sitting there going, the hemming and the hawing back and forth? Should we do this? Should we not do this? And your defense is that he pitches well?
Yeah. I mean, but
that might be the worst defense of David Price pitching in a playoff game, that somehow the results are going to be good because he's pitched well.
Yeah.
Not in the playoffs, he hasn't.
See, Cora had
and
to think about
that. That was the question.
He's been so definitive with answering questions. Nope. Yes. Nope. Absolutely. Never. This one's. It's like I'm Adam Jones. One of those. Gave you one of those.
All right, let's hear the rest of Alex Cora, Red Sox manager, talking about Price playing and being on the mound in game two.
The whole season, he kind of struggled against the Yankees. Just seems like as far as like game planning or matching up with them, it didn't work this year. That's the way I see it. Break against Toronto, it wasn't good. You go so on with guys, and sometimes you struggle during the season against a team. You don't match up well, or they just plan for you, and they perform against that pitcher. But I saw what happened last year with the Astros. He was actually the best pitcher in that series last year. I know he was coming out of the bullpen, but what he did was good to see. Now, he's going to make some adjustments, and he'll be fine.
That's what he's going with.
What's good to see now? What do you mean by that?
It wasn't good to see last year because he was part of the Astros team.
Right. Oh, okay.
That's what he said.
Okay.
That makes sense.
Gotcha.
Last year, 2 2/3 in game two, giving up one hit in relief. And then in game three, pitched another four innings, giving up four hits. He was he only walked two over those two appearances. He didn't give up any runs.
I mean, it's a massive head-scratcher to anybody that covers his team or understands his team or has been with this team from day one as to him getting that nod in game two. It's all in core now. He's going to look great or he's going to get crushed on Monday if this series goes down to Houston and David falls apart. Now, I think he'd be competitive in that game. He's got to get him out of there early if it's going bad. I mean, it could be a quicker hook than what you saw Saturday ago.
617-779-0985. Do you remember who was the game one starter in that series last year?
Last year?
Yeah, game one against Houston a year ago.
Porcello, wasn't it?
No.
Porcello.
No.
I don't know. Come on.
It's a guy who's not even going to be on the roster.
Pomerantz?
Yeah.
Pomerantz.
Drew Pomerantz was the game one starter last year. Yeah. Just remember that. Okay. We got to get to the Patriots.
Yes.
Including a response from Jalen Ramsey for Stephon Gilmore and this weekend's game against Kansas City. Thoughts on that from all of us coming up.
Yep.
All right. It's Friday here on Zolak and Bertrand. We've got Red Sox in the mix. We got Patriots in the mix. We got a lot of things to get to with your calls coming up. Don't go anywhere. I don't think there are three words in sports that get more people excited about what is yet to come.
Zolak and Bertrand.
I think there's issues with testosterone.
98.5 The Sports Hub.
No, he's a good player. I mean, you know, you got to know where he at on the field. So it's gonna be fun going against him.
Yeah, what's your reaction when you see other corners that do that, like Ramsey? And I know there's others in the league that sort of talk the trash before
it's
the
like
game
a part of the position.
Is even playing.
Just,
I know that's not your style, so I'm curious to know what someone like you would think about that.
I mean, it's his personality. You know, it's not my style, but I feel like a lot of guys should talk is mostly zone guys. So. They got a lot of energy to do that.
Mostly zone guys, he said?
Yeah.
Stephon Gilmore here with us on Zolak and Bertrand a couple of days ago. Was it 2 days ago? This week has been crazy. By the way, I got to correct something. I'm an idiot. I was looking at last year's ALDS. It was game two that Porcello started. It's game two, not game one. What did I say? And now I just screwed it up again.
It's just Pomerantz.
Ah! I said Pomerantz started game one. He started game two. I'm an idiot.
I thought it was
not that you needed to know that.
Yeah.
Okay, anyway. That was
stupid.
You know, it's so dumb. Idiot.
Do it.
That was
touch my drum set.
It was Sale that started game one, obviously. It was I knew that Pomerantz. I'm like, remember Pomerantz pitching last year?
It actually was game three he started.
What?
Pomerantz.
Stop it, love.
No. No, no, no.
Who cares?
Who started game
two
then?
Who cares?
Pomerantz pitched two innings. He started game two. Right?
Sports.
Double check that.
Research department back here.
Research. It was the Friday game. Wasn't it the Friday afternoon game? Now I'm going to
get... Doug Fister started game two.
Oh, Jesus. Doug Fister. Damn.
No way.
Jesus.
What are you looking at? I'm looking at the... Doug Fister did not pitch in... I'm looking at the box score from game two.
No, it was Sale and Pomerantz.
Yeah. Thank you. Now you're screwing things up. What box score? October 6th, Game 2, ALDS, 2017 American League Division Series against the Astros. Fister?
Get your head out of here.
Was that 2 years ago?
Sorry, Mason was in the regular season.
Oh, whatever.
Oh, my God.
Okay. So well, now we know the research department over here today is useless. Won't be asking them for anything.
Give him a razor.
God. Now we've spent way too much time on this. Okay, back to Gilmore. Ramsey had a response yesterday down in Jacksonville. You hear it?
I did.
Let's hear it. Let's make sure everyone hears it.
A couple people have been saying something about it, but I mean, we know that's further from the truth. But I mean, I'm gonna continue to do what the team asks me to do either. Man or zone. Maybe he should try it. I was all pro. But, I mean, it's cool. I've never understood why, you know, somebody on the same side of the ball would hate on another guy. Like, usually we going against the opponent, but maybe I'm a third or something. Why do you think that is? No, I really don't know. I said maybe I'm a third or something. I really don't know. It was weird to me. It's lame, corny, but it's him, though.
This is good, clean fun.
So he's lame and corny now. But what's funny is Ramsey doesn't understand why, you know, someone on the same side of the ball would sort of rip on him. Well, it's as easy as this. They study stuff here. Guess which game the Patriots have been immersed in? Jacksonville at Kansas City from last weekend. So guess what side of the ball that the Patriots defense watches. Is it Kansas City's defense? No, stupid. It is the offense. How are you going to stop the RPO in Kansas City and Mahomes? And guess who's out there running around chasing people like dogs chasing cars? Last weekend, it was Jalen Ramsey.
Maybe he should try it. I was all pro.
Yeah, you weren't all pro last weekend.
Yeah, here's what I would like to know about Ramsey.
So maybe Gilmore has got this impression that maybe he just ain't that good.
Does Ramsey do updates like after he talks his trash? So like last week, he's all over Tyreek Hill. Tyreek Hill sucks, blah, blah, blah.
It's quiet, wasn't he last week?
Like once the game happens, what happens next? And I'm not saying that this is about last week, just about any guy who talks trash.
I don't know, it was 20 and nothing before you knew it.
like your team got its ass kicked.
Yeah. Well,
what do you say now? What are you saying now, Ramsey?
I'll play whatever they want me to play. That's kind of what he said.
Good answer.
Yeah.
Good, clean fun, though. Two corners that are now at it. And Gilmore, he's not going to be fazed by it at all. I don't know. I was all pro. I don't know. You have to. I don't know. I'm just all pro.
Maybe he should try it. I was all pro.
You should try being all pro.
Put a little zone, a little more man, a little more man, a little more zone.
Good, clean fun right there.
Great.
Let's talk about Kansas City this weekend. What are your thoughts on this game? I'm afraid. I'm scared of these Kansas City Chiefs.
I think it's, I mean, we say this each and every week, but even more so than any other week. I first of all, Bob Sosi and I have been calling games for 6 years and did his podcast this week and Beyond the Gridiron.
Check it out.
Jeff Howell and I are there talking about the book. Some good stuff in it.
On and off the field.
And we're excited for this one because he and I both, and we've called some big games for this team. Big games. You know, playoff games, Super Bowls, regular season games. The Pittsburgh game last year, we were talking about that. Like, that was a big one. This has got that feeling. Because this could either do one of two things. This could get your ass going and wake you up and you go on a little run here because you even have some better teams coming in than I think what Kansas City is. Or it could send you a little bit of a tailspin because now all of a sudden you become a 500 team again. 4-2 as opposed to 3-3 and where KC would be in the grand scheme or picture of things. You'd be chasing them all year long. You're going to go to Arrowhead for a playoff game.
Who do you think's a better team?
If they beat you.
Out of these two right now.
Who's a better team?
And that's not just record. I know that Kansas City hasn't lost a game. Who's a better team?
I think this is a better team here.
I think the Patriots
are a better
team.
With Edelman back, yes. You asked me a week ago without Edelman, Kansas City.
All right, so what we saw. So the team that was on the field last week for the Patriots
is
better than the Kansas City team.
Yes.
I don't know that I can say that.
Yeah.
There's not very many weeks where you can find yourself asking, are the Patriots the better team or not?
I'll watch that defense last week, and I know they kept them off the
bench. Doesn't mean this isn't going to change.
Bortles was god-awful last week. Like, Blake Bortles was Blake Bortles last week. He killed that team. They were driving the ball. They were in a red zone twice through two picks. Terrible. Terrible down and tight.
Patriots, 3.5-point favorites. It is a record, Zoe. It is the 56th consecutive game with Tom Brady at quarterback that the Patriots have been the favorite going into the game.
Yeah.
All-time record, according to ESPN. That's never been done before. And I look at that and say, yeah, well, they're getting those points because they're at home.
Yeah. Do you know the quarterbacks under the age of 25 are 1-41 in a start at Gillette Stadium, in their first start at Gillette Stadium?
Yes. The Patriots have historically been very good against young quarterbacks. Bill Belichick has been terrific in scheming against young quarterbacks and forcing them into mistakes.
Yep. Lone win out of that group is Colin Kaepernick. Going back to that rainy, what was that, a Sunday night? I think it was a Sunday night game.
Yeah. There was a lot of points in that game, too.
A lot of points.
Okay.
Randy Moss.
So when you look at Mahomes, do you think he's a guy who can buck that trend? Because I think he is.
I think he is the guy.
Man, he's really good.
Yeah.
He is filthy good.
Yeah.
This RPO talk all this week, so I haven't paid enough attention to this game this week.
I don't think he needs RPO.
And Bennington called us yesterday.
He's
wanted to know if the RPO talk was overrated.
I'm telling you, people out there, hey, watch us on TV.
Yeah.
And for people that like video content, go to William Bendenson's Facebook page because he posts it all. Or you could go, what is it, Jim? Is it Maven?
You got
it
on Twitter. I don't know that the
Patriots
Facebook
Maven
thing is public.
Correspondent, Sports Exchange, and Maven. The best Patriots coverage in the business, shooting to you from the Gillette Stadium field in a downpour.
Passion.
Nothing better.
At
Patriots Maven. You get all these other clips. They're all standing there. They're sitting in little chairs with their little tent. You know what this guy's doing? He's standing out there on the field with an umbrella, and you hear it pouring. It's raining cats and dogs out there.
I like how at one point in that video, he put the umbrella like stick right in front of his face in the video.
He said something else to him.
Let your heart not be troubled. If it's raining, we will still be shooting. The Pats are in their final preparation for the Kansas City Chiefs. I think everybody's worried about Tyreek Hill. Devin McCourty said today he's the fastest wide receiver in football. Interestingly, Devin McCourty also said he wouldn't give any praise to Jason McCourty, who's been playing well at the second corner position.
Content. Got some stuff there. He told me something. That guy's asked the best questions the last 3 weeks. Fact. We sit here and we listen to every press conference. It's always the him and ha. Bill, that being said, or you get the coach, can you talk about it?
Bill, what was it like, you know, to really get in there and you see the way he ran through the hole? You know?
Direct questions.
Direct.
Real questions.
And long
Not
answers.
That can you talk about X, Y, and Z.
Bennington's going to slowly develop to be a part of the show.
I want everyone in sports to start taking the Chris Sale track when they're asked, can you talk about? No. Every talk time, no matter what the question is, good or bad, can you talk about Tom Brady and his? No.
No. Part of you love interviewers when they just use the general term. Talk about it.
Yeah, talk about it.
What's the question?
Talk about that for about a minute and a half, and then I'll be about three quarters of the way through this
talk
thing.
About
I can go home and put my feet up.
Bennington.
Right. I'm worried about the RPOs. I dug in deep on the RPOs last night that they've been doing there. Mahomes is so good. Everything is so quick.
He's so good. He doesn't need it. You know what
the
it is.
The hands are so quick. The feet are so, everything's so fast. He blows anybody out of the water on that Philadelphia roster, like Nick Foles running those plays in the Super Bowl or any other game last year. This kid runs him twice as well.
Scary thing is he's RPO on steroids, which means Alex Smith, Alex Smith is a okay, good quarterback.
Yeah.
He's not a $25 million a year guy. That RPO is developed as far as you read one guy, it's a middle linebacker. And whichever way he goes, the receiver's coming to replace him. So you're coming off the fake. You're either going to bang it in there, or if the linebacker comes up, he's going to go past him, and you're going to throw it on the other side.
But there is no hesitation in him reading it, and there's no hesitation in delivery, and the ball comes out so fast that the window and the space needed to complete the play,
throwing darts.
Darts. The space required to complete it and make it a completion is far less than what someone like Foles or Alex Smith needs.
Like, it was
right? Am I
right? RPO is a smoke and mirror offense, and they needed that to have Alex Smith succeed. You get beat by the same damn thing in a Super Bowl by a bunch of backups. You got smoked with that RPO. This kid's good enough. He didn't even need the RPO.
Here's a problem, though. If it's Tyreek Hill, not Tyreek Hill running 70 yards downfield and Mahomes just throwing the football over everybody because he can.
He can throw it 75.
Because he's that good. Yeah. Forget that stuff. I mean, that's always a danger. But no, when he hits Tyreek Hill 10 yards downfield and then Tyreek Hill takes off and runs by everybody on your defense, that's dangerous. That's big playability where he doesn't have to throw it 70 yards down the field. 617-779-0985. More on the Patriots Chiefs. We got the football card coming up at 10:50. Phil Perry will be with us today as well. 617-779-0985. Here's Hardy with headlines.
That's all for here for now. This is William Bendenson, Patriots correspondent, Sports Exchange, and Maven.
Sports Hub headlines.
Connor McDavid got the Oilers on the board first last night, but David Pastrnak scored a nifty goal in the power play, the equalizer last night, on the route to a 4-1 win. Now, in terms of the lines, Coach Bruce Cassidy.
It might change on Saturday. We're still tinkering. But yeah, you want to see it work. It obviously can, because, you know, then obviously now you're down to maybe one other line you're going to examine. So we want the lines to work. We've said it, you know, and until it does, we probably move some pieces around and players in and out. But the quicker we get solidified, I think it's better for everybody.
Well, you mentioned Saturday. That's when the Bruins take on the Red Wings at 3 p.m. The game moved up to that time because the Red Sox will take on the Astros in game one of the ALCS, 8:09 p.m. Fenway Park. Dodgers visit the Brewers in game one of the NLCS tonight. No Chris Hogan at Patriots practice yesterday. He missed a session with a thigh injury. Pats are home to play Kansas City Sunday night. Last night, the Eagles beat the Giants 34-13 to begin NFL Week 6. Headlines are brought to you by BU, Boston University Men's Hockey at Aganis Arena. Purchase season tickets and get the best games, including BC, Providence, and Northeastern. 617-353-GO-BU. I'm Hardy on Boston's Home for Sports. 98.5 The Sports Hub. Get your headlines anytime and your flash briefing on your Alexa voice-activated speaker or right here in 30 minutes.
Without Zolak and Bertrand, your workday is just pushing papers and eating lunch.
What, is there a problem?
With Zolak and Bertrand, it's pushing papers, eating lunch, and talking sports.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Way better. Zolak and Bertrand, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
Jim just tricked me.
How so?
I thought he was playing Beastie Boys. Beastie Boys sampled this. Damn it.
Before we get to the calls, can we play something from the Houston side of things?
Sure.
The ALCS? You know, last series, we didn't really have a chance to really develop any hate. I thought we were going to get that. I thought, you know, Voit was going to be our guy. There could be some guys really to learn to hate.
I still hate Voit.
Yeah, I still hate him, but
I love Voit.
There just wasn't enough. There wasn't enough there to hate.
Voit reminds me of Nick Swisher. That's it. Remember when Swisher would wear the Ed Hardy t-shirts all the time with all the gold chains? I dig that.
You know, Houston's been bitching about the fact that they were playing afternoon baseball.
Yeah.
Yeah, here's here's Alex Bregman with Scott Van Pelt on ESPN.
You know, I had questions about other stuff, but I mean, it seems like right now is just a good time to say thanks and enjoy the rest of your night.
Thank you, and I want to end with saying one thing.
Please.
Does Floyd Mayweather fight the first fight of the night, or is he the main event? I mean, does Tiger Woods tee off at 8 a.m.? It's about time the Showstros play on primetime television, so we're looking forward to the ALCS.
Right on. Go get them. Show them what you got and enjoy.
Yeah, and then Pelt, there's right Van Pelt. On. Oh, God.
Well, let me avoid the controversy here.
I
don't blame him.
I don't want to pick on Van Pelt because he's the best thing ESPN has.
I don't blame him. We're the defending champ, and
we get him, kid.
We get a crap schedule.
The show.
That's Van Pelt saying, I already said goodbye to you. I didn't need another comment like that.
Oh, I get what you're saying. That was like, Van Pelt's that good, huh? Okay, you go get him. Get the hell off my show. That's Bregman complaining that the Showstros were not in primetime in the ALDS, the Showstros. Oh, boy.
Oh,
there's now.
They're going to be in it now.
There's some meat on that bone to hate.
Mm.
Is there not?
Does Floyd Mayweather fight the first fight of the night, or is he the main event? I mean,
or are you going to be Floyd Mayweather and just run around the ring and not hit anybody? Are you going to come to play? I don't know.
Showstros. The Showstros.
I mean, does Tiger Woods tee off at 8 a.m.? It's about time the Showstros play on primetime television, so we're looking forward to the ALCS.
It is. Mm-hmm. It's a laser show type comment.
Tiger Woods tees off at 7:30 a.m. sometimes.
Yeah.
He usually tees off wherever he is placed in a tournament.
Right.
Lately, he really hasn't even been making the cut, so sometimes he doesn't even tee off, but he's been really good this year. You understand what he's saying, and I don't blame him. When you're the defending champ, that's how you should think.
It's great.
What are they putting them on for?
Bregman.
Look at us.
Bregman's our guy.
We're going to kick their ass.
I'm just putting it out there right now.
Okay.
Bregman's our guy. We're gonna really come to hate Bregman.
Osuna, too, for different reasons.
Why?
The Red Sox could have gone out and gotten him. Dombrowski went out and said, we're not going there because of the domestic violence stuff.
Oh.
Astros went out and got him. They were asked about it yesterday, and Cora said, as Dombrowski said earlier, we weren't gonna go there.
I mean, it's easy to hate a guy that was in that situation, but what is he gonna do in the series that's gonna make us hate him? I think Bregman.
Just walk out to the mound and get killed by the fans? He should.
All right. Okay. That could be a fun angle. Here, you mean, when they're here. If he's out there.
Absolutely.
Okay, good.
Hopefully he doesn't get in a situation like that, but if he does.
617-779-0985. Let's get to the calls. Dan's in Boston. Go ahead, Dan.
Hey, guys. I want to make a comment before about, you know, sticking with the guns and going with the players that got you there. It's a move that Cora's made all year. We all know that. But it also, just from a managerial side of things, it shows that he has control of the clubhouse. You know, he could be a joke like Aaron Boone and make flip-floppy decisions based upon, oh no, I'm nervous. I don't know what to do. You know, but that's the reason why during, you know, the game four, the ALDS there, game four, he didn't have anybody warming behind Kimbrel. You know, he's like, listen, he's our guy. We're going to make the move. He's going to win it for us, or, you know, we're going to go into extras or lose. And that's the type of mentality a clubhouse wants to have behind. And it's nice that Cora's actually got it.
Well, I would just say that he has not been completely consistent in that, because if it's all about the guys who got you there, he's not going to Rick Porcello in the eighth inning of game one. Rick Porcello wasn't pitching the eighth inning during the season. That's not a guy who got you there in that role. When you go to game four, you went to Chris Sale in the eighth inning. That's not a guy who got you there in the eighth inning this year. That's completely different. That's saying to your guys in your bullpen, I don't think you're as good as what our other options are. Yeah, you may have been pitching the eighth inning in the regular season. I need to go with someone better now that the games mean more. And we're not managing for 162. We're not managing for a full season to keep everybody happy. He obviously doesn't have confidence in his bullpen, nor should he. It's the right call.
Yeah.
So I just don't think you can say that. And by the way, just because that's who he is doesn't mean it's right. I think the best managers are going to be the ones that are able to make the calls like Cora's made on the bullpen so far in the playoffs. I think he's done a great job.
Yeah, I mean,
he's done a great job because he just stuck with guys.
And that's the thing that stuck with Boone. It looked like, okay, he had to go to a flip card, a book, even at the end when they run out of players, deciding who to put in and pitch and get through games. He just couldn't even come off the cuff of his arm. You know what I mean? Like, you should know that stuff.
And by the way,
you shouldn't have to go to a book.
By the way,
look things up.
Let's not change history. Joe Kelly was warming in the bullpen while Kimbrel was falling apart. That's not true. What the caller stated was not even true.
Right.
Joe Kelly was in the bullpen warming while Kimbrel was losing his, you know, lunch out there on the mound.
Yeah.
Okay. So he knew that he was going to have to get someone up, and that's the right call. That's the right. You got to get someone out there warming.
Well, next guy you're going to bring in a long relief guy. You're going to bring in a guy who tries to smoke some heat there at the end of a game. It's going to be Kelly.
Right. Exactly. But the other
thing
is,
that's what Boone didn't do.
The other thing is, you know, you don't give up the game if Kimbrel blows the save. The game is tied, that is, obviously.
Yeah, yeah.
If the game ends up being tied there and you bring in Kelly and you try and get yourself out of it, you know, you're playing for extra innings at that point.
You bring that guy to get you off the hook, and then
at some point, you got to make that switch. Right.
That was the problem with Boone and Lynn. Brought in a long guy with the bases loaded.
If that infield single, sorry, I just called it an infield single when it wasn't. If the infield, if Nunez doesn't make the play the other night and that turns into an infield single, is Kimbrel remaining in the game?
No.
No, I don't think he is. No. I think he's getting pulled out.
No, because
I think they're bringing Joe Kelly in at that point.
Now the winning run is on second, right? Because you would have two and three.
I'm not sure they're leaving
single
Kimbrel in the game.
Single wins at that point. Yep.
So
you're bringing in a guy to throw heat and get somebody out, and that would be Joe Kelly.
That's what I got.
Smart move.
617-779-0985. I wish we had gotten more calls this segment, but I'll tell you what.
Hey, we'll do it next.
Why don't we do it next? We'll get right to it.
We'll do what we want to do.
After the football card, which is coming up next.
Nice. Sweet.
Zolak and Bertrand continues on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Time now for the football card. Jim, can you tell us how we did last week? I thought we were doing okay. But we didn't win, did we?
No, Hawaii's quarterback got hurt. That over-under started at 57, I think, and it went down to like 50 by kickoff, and it ended up going way under.
Oh, wow. Terrific.
Great.
So Tom's stupid college pick.
Again.
Tom's stupid college pick.
Did not work again.
Lost us all our money.
Tom had us dead in the water before we even played ball on Sunday. Yeah.
How did everybody else do?
I won.
I had Kansas City.
Did we go 4 for 5?
No, I lost. I had the Ravens. Cleveland made that a game.
3 for 5 is OT. What we did.
They made it a game. They won the game.
Okay. Well, now we've got another 5. What's Tom's pick this week?
He's not here.
Well,
he's
Tom
so stupid.
Is in Michigan.
Yeah.
He's traveling, and he's going to the Big House tomorrow night from Wisconsin, Michigan.
There. So he's going to take that game?
So how miserable is this? He sent me his pick this morning.
Yeah.
Under 49, Wisconsin, Michigan tomorrow night. He's going to a football game.
And he's rooting
for no points.
No points. That is horrible. That is a horrible way of going about doing your business.
He's so dumb.
Do you know what you want this weekend, Zoe?
What?
You want to go next? I got a college pick.
Yeah.
You want to just go first?
Yeah, you just go.
Yeah, go.
So I'm Tom's college
struggling.
Pick. I've won every week, by the way. 5-0.
Oh.
I don't feel good this week about anything.
Oh, awesome.
So I'm going to take a lot of points. Maryland?
Yeah.
Minus 24 against Rutgers. Rutgers is putrid.
Right.
So I'm going to roll that.
You're laying 24 points.
If you're a turtle.
Laying 24, yes. Maryland.
Maryland.
It's not a Maryland pick. It's an anti-Rutgers pick.
Should we not? Let's not even bother. It's just a waste of breath.
Okay. I'm ready for my pick.
Okay.
I'm going to take the Browns at home this weekend.
Oh.
Don't give
Mr.
me that.
Mayfield.
Home dog? A little home dog?
They're not home dog. Oh, yes, they are. Better. Yes. Plus 1.5. Is that where it's at right now? Yes. Give me the Browns at home. Thank you.
Versus?
The Chargers this weekend.
That's
you know this game?
I think they can exploit that Chargers defense. I think Baker Moneymaker this weekend is going to be a solid bet.
I heard a crazy stat about this game.
What is it?
By the DVOA stat that everyone uses, these analytics guys.
Please.
Chargers number 3 offense going against the Browns number 2 defense.
Mm.
Who wins those battles? Great offenses or great defenses? Great defenses. Give me the Browns. Browns plus 1.5. So,
The Atlanta Falcons are a pretty good dome team, right? Well,
they do play in a dome.
Yeah, Tampa coming to town. Mm. Falcons are only favored by 3.5.
Ooh.
I'll lay to 3.5.
Oh.
I'll take Atlanta. I think Tampa sucks.
I think Tampa does suck, but I don't know.
They
got
Jameis Winston playing, all that. Ugh. Nope.
At least it gives us. I'm happy to root against Tampa Bay.
Yeah.
I'm happy to root for Cleveland. So at least there's good
rooting interest
here.
Right? Yeah. And we root against Tom.
Can I ask
so
you something?
Root for Maryland?
Because
Maryland weird.
Maryland.
No, Jim does.
Maryland.
Maryland.
Maryland. Maryland.
I don't have any issue with you.
Maryland.
Jim.
Maryland.
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 It's not Maryland.
Three syllables. Maryland.
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 Where are you heading this weekend? We're going down to Maryland.
Maryland.
No, we're going to Maryland.
Come over to the house Christmas time. We'll eat, drink, and be merry.
That's not even funny.
Yeah, that wasn't a good one.
That was one of your worst.
Can I ask you something?
Still your pick.
What do you need? What do you need?
How many points do you think are going to be scored in that Tampa Bay-Atlanta game? Because I was looking at it. Not for the team.
Atlanta's going to hang 26 to 13.
Okay, 57 is the total.
That seems a little high.
Let's go under.
It's good to meet, pal.
Okay.
That's because the Bears scored like 50 on the Bucks, and the Falcons' defense is all hurt. But I like the pick, under.
Under.
Feel pretty good about these picks.
Falcons 3 games at home this year. They have a total of 104 points scored. So, factor that in. Do you think...
Under.
Do you... Okay, do you think the Buccaneers are going to score less than 21 points?
Yes.
So you think they're going to be held to very few points by that horrible Falcons defense?
I 30-24, you still win.
Okay, I'm just asking the question. Got a team that's averaging 35 points a game at home. So, really, do you think... Bucks going to score
under
23. Fine. All right. Fine. Under.
So
it
we
is.
Have the game and the total in that.
Yeah. That's a fun one.
I like it.
There you go. So it's.
What's
Falcons,
the wager?
Falcons 5. Falcons at minus 3.5. The under, which is at 57. Correct, Artie? Is that what you added at?
Yeah.
Under 57. Falcons minus 3.5. Browns plus 1.5. The under in the Michigan game at the Big House tomorrow. And Maryland.
The under is 49, yes.
Maryland.
Maryland's a
Maryland.
24.
Maryland. Now you sound like you're saying like Sosie.
Well, Sosie in you there.
Maryland.
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 Eastern
Shore, Maryland.
Maryland.
I know you're a big helmet colors uniform guy.
Yeah.
Those Maryland helmets are the worst thing in college football. They are so putrid. It makes the game borderline unwatchable. Anytime they go into a close-up of a Maryland football player and I see those hideous helmets, I just want to turn the TV off.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You can't defend those.
I think it's embarrassing.
Thank you.
I think it's absolutely embarrassing.
Wow. Wow. High profile alum Scott Solak says Maryland's uniforms are embarrassing. You heard it here first.
Red helmets, stripes on them, turps on the side.
Classic.
Classy.
Speaking of that, Giants last night.
Good grief.
Yeah.
Just slapped a new decal on the side of their helmet, right?
You see how that happens?
Yeah, just like Beatles' idea for the Patriots.
That looks good.
Hey, I've talked to the league. Okay. Talked to ownership. Yeah. I've talked to the league. I will continue to make my case when opportunities present themselves for the case to be made.
Okay. After your time with who'd you talk to?
I don't even know his name.
Well, that's
good. I was told his name, but it was loud. And
don't say that. It's a high ranking league official.
It was. Right. It was an important guy.
I know who I was talking
important
to.
Important guy. I don't even know his name.
Look at Zell's.
I'll tell you what.
Maybe that's why Jonathan was laughing. It was like his grass guy or something. Guy that cuts his grass.
Definitely not. It was definitely not the grass guy.
Look at Zell's Maryland photo. How did you throw the ball with those shoulder pads? Were you a fullback?
Everybody wore those. Ran people over. Watch any old football game.
How'd you throw the ball with those?
Dude, those were power pads. This thing's great. They had a wraparound thing, flak jacket. I get hit by a bus and I could get up and walk away from it.
Well, I'm pretty sure you get hit by a bus right now and you get up and walk away from it.
I hit by a bus four times in this game, walked away from it.
617-779-0985. Write your calls after these headlines with Hardy. They only take, 60, 90, 120 seconds, somewhere in that range.